So yeah, let's look at these passages. So first of all, you might spot what's wrong with this photo. A few years ago, there was an internet meme with the title, "You only had one job." And it went everywhere. It was all over social media. And it proved very popular, showing images of seemingly simple tasks that had gone rather badly wrong. Now, the smart among you may have realised already where I'm going with this. Our Genesis reading is from the creation narratives, and it's the point where God gives humankind one job. It was what we had to do with creation. And there are two complementary creation narratives of Genesis, and the first tells us that on the sixth day, this is just a bit of a recap for you, God said, let us make humankind in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all of the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So remember the bold word rule. We'll come back to that. And then moving on, I've cut off a little bit of the screen, sorry about that. But so God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule it. Remember those words in bold. Over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature. I don't know the rest of it, so I'm just going to skip on. And then Genesis 2, again, taking some note of the words in bold. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So remember, work and take care. We'll come back to those four important bold words in this talk. So, overall in these texts, as well as telling us to fill the earth, which is an instruction that God gives to every creature, God gives humans four unique instructions which together give us our one job. And they are these things: to subdue the earth, to rule all living creatures, to work the earth, and to take care of it. So what does that mean? Let's look at them in turn. So this is a little bit of a language lesson for you. I did say you'd learn things today. I love languages. And the first instruction is that we are to subdue the earth, and the word in Hebrew is kabash. Do you want to say it after me? Kabash. Very good. There isn't a quiz on this later, but if anyone can tell me all the words that I say in Hebrew by the end of this talk, I'll think of a prize. So the first instruction is that we're to subdue the earth, and that word is kabash. So it sounds quite domineering in the English translation, subdue, but actually it actually means no more than controlling through agriculture, but importantly with elements of bringing order and creative development using the materials of creation. So there's a very clear sense in the creation narrative that God is fascinated to see what we're going to do. We're kind of co-creators. We're bringing order through agriculture. There is a really lovely story in Genesis 2 where Adam names all the animals. This is a bit of subduing, if you like, a bit of bringing order into creation by classification. It's very poignant for me right now. I'm regularly asked what Jake and I are going to name the baby. You know, have you got a name yet? And that's, it just really struck me what a huge privilege it is to name something, isn't it? Put your hand up if you've got pets. Has anyone got a pet? Lots of people have pets. Keep your hand up if you chose your name for your pet. Jacob, what's your pet's name?
What?
A dopey goldfish called Albert. Anybody else want to share the name of their pet?
Horace.
Horace, is that? Boris. Oh, topical. So quite a lot of, I think there's something very, very sort of intimate about naming something, isn't there? I remember when I was a child and I'm naming my first teddy bear. Isn't that a moment? They go, well, what do you want to call it? And you feel like there's a connection. It's a very bonding thing. So in a way, that's what God is asking Adam to do when he brings all the animals to Adam and all of everything that's living and say, give it a name. So it's definitely an intimate act. And throughout Genesis, God names all of the day, night, stars, sky, humankind. It's that act of really quite an intimate sort of thing to do. God doesn't tell Adam what everything will be called. He is to use his initiative and come up with his own ideas. So human ingenuity and creativity is part of God's plan, and it's part of this subduing the kabash task that we've been given to bring order in that kind of quite intimate way. So the next term, radda. Let's try that one. So radda. And this means to rule, or this is translated as to rule, But there's a bit more to it than that. It sounds, again, very domineering. But it's actually really tied up with the idea that human beings are made in the image of God. So elsewhere in Genesis it says, "Let us make humankind in our image so that they may rule over all living creatures." So most theologians see this idea of being made in the image of God as meaning that God has given us authority in his stead to within his sovereign realm over all living things. So we're here to represent God on earth, if you like, with these with creation, and to rule creation in line with God's purposes. And that's the key thing, ruling in line with how God would rule. So the rest of the Bible, if you think about how God would rule, this is all about ruling with wisdom, goodness, compassion, generosity, with love and justice. So ruling is very much in the benefit of creation. So this is all about making sure that we are doing things in a way that reflects God's kingship. We've got two more words for you. Next word, to work the earth, and the Hebrew is abad. Try it. Abad. I'll be really impressed if anyone remembers all four of these. So this is commonly translated as to work the earth, which again kind of makes you think maybe it's about the earth working for us and making it work for us. But it's actually a bit more than that. The Hebrew word really has a strong sense of service. So a more complete instruction would be to work hard to serve the earth. So not just to work the earth, but to work hard to serve the earth. So this, and yes, and then the second word, moving on quite fast to the next one, because they're kind of interconnected, samar. Do you want to try that one, samar? So tamar means to take care of. It can be translated as to keep the earth as well. That is probably what came up in the translation we read. And this means to look over something with protection, with watchfulness, with care. So abad and samar, so to work and to serve and to care for together, means that our job is just that, to serve and to keep God's perfect creation. And this means, again, that we're given responsibility for creation, but not for our benefit, but for creation's benefit. And our purpose is to serve creation so that it prospers. So taking all those four words together, my dad has written a really helpful summary of what he thought our one job would be that I thought I'd share with you. How might you summarise our one job? Perhaps you'd summarise it like this. We have been given God's kingly authority in creation to order it, to develop it, to care for it, and serve every part of his creation for its benefit so that it prospers. Might take you a while to learn that off by heart, but it is quite a complete and balanced capture of the one job that we have. But of course, things got complicated, didn't they? This job was given to humankind, to Adam, before the fall happened, before humans rebelled against God. And it's important to realise, though, that this didn't mean that job was put on hold or postponed or cancelled and they just said, oh, let's put that to one side, actually, because the fall happened, so that bit doesn't matter. What changed is that because we turned away from God through the fall and through our actions, it's led God to intervene in Christ for the restoration of all things. So our Christian hope is that Jesus' death on the cross means that redemption is available, not just for humanity, but for the whole of creation, which, like us, will be fully renewed when Jesus returns. But the church has a role now. Before Jesus returns, we are called to be the first fruits of redeemed humanity, to be ambassadors for Christ, and to be a community which models how a reconciled relationship with God looks and a reconciled relationship with the creation. So you would have thought that this one job that we have should be very high on our agenda as a church, as the body of Christ. So a question that I'll just leave you with is, how is our love for Jesus shown in our commitment as a community of disciples to this God-given job of ordering, developing, caring for, and serving every part of creation so that it prospers?